Shalom. Oh, very good. I like that. Shalom. I want to thank Pastor Alistair and all of you from the Osaka International Church for having us today. My wife, Ann, and I are very honored to be a part of your fellowship, and I'm praising the Lord for the blessing of teaching you today. We are so thankful for your love and support for our ministry to the Jewish people. We have been ministering and sharing the gospel with Jewish people over the last 25 years. In the last 19 years, we have lived in Las Vegas, where 80,000 Jewish people live. Our goal is to reach all of them with the gospel of Jesus. We do this through a number of ministries. As missionaries with CJF Ministries, we have trained a group of evangelists that travel with us to the University of Las Vegas and to all the malls in Las Vegas as well. We seek out Jewish people in these locations and we share Jesus with them. My wife, Ann, leads a Davidic dance team to a convalescent home where they dance to Jewish worship music and share Jesus with the elderly. We also teach and train churches and individuals how to share Jesus with the Jewish people. I'm also a messianic pastor of a Jewish congregation called Beth Yeshua, which means the house of Jesus. We invite unsaved Jewish people to our services and share Jesus with them. In 19 years of missionary service, we have led over 1,200 people to the Lord. Out of those 1,200 salvations, 67 of them are Jewish. So when you share the gospel with Jewish people in a Jewish way, many Gentiles get saved. We have found this to be true because the Lord blesses ministries when they focus on sharing the love of Messiah Jesus with the Jewish people. If you give the gospel to Jewish people first, then you will be blessed. We are always looking for prayer partners to help pray for our personal and ministry needs. If the Lord puts on your heart to pray for us, then please sign up with your email address or a mailing address at the book table in the back or in upstairs or with my wife outside. I send out our email prayer requests every once in a while. And if you like, you can join us on our Facebook page as well at Beth Yeshua LV. At Beth Yeshua LV on our Facebook page. Now let's get to our teaching of Israel and prophecy, a chronology. God has a great plan for the Jewish people, and that includes regathering them back to the land, judgment in the form of the tribulation period, salvation at the end of the tribulation, and the final restoration back to the land of Israel to live in peace under the kingly reign of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. The title of today's message is also the title of my new book. It is a book that places most of the prophecies concerning Israel in a chronological order. At the end of the book is the Israel and prophecy chart, which is a nice summary of the book. Now, the chart has been passed out on paper, and it also will be up there on the screen. So you should have that in your hands right now. If not, raise your hand and someone will bring one to you. This book is available for purchase in the bookstore at the third floor after the service. I also have some free magazines that you can use for evangelizing Jewish and Gentile people as well. So let's take a look at the chart from the left side to the right side as I summarize the teaching today. The first box is Israel today. Knowing what's going on in Israel today helps us to understand why the world wants to completely destroy Israel in the future. Did you hear me? The world wants to completely destroy Israel in the future. We'll get to that in just a moment. The next box is the Ezekiel War, also known as Gog and Magog 1. This is a war between Russia and the Confederacy of Nations that will attack Israel at any moment. The next event in prophecy is the One World Order. This One World Order is the revived Roman Empire. And I believe the Roman Empire will revive once this evil confederacy of nations of the Ezekiel War are destroyed. sometime in the process of developing this one world order and 10 kingdoms, the pre-trib rapture will occur. That's the next box in the chart. This is where all believers of Jesus will instantaneously be transformed into our eternal resurrection bodies as we fly up to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. After the rapture, we see the 7-year tribulation period known as Jacob's Trouble and the 70th week of Daniel. The whole world will be under God's judgment, but Israel will start this period in peace with a treaty established by the anti-Messiah or the Antichrist. However, by the middle of the tribulation period, the peace treaty with Israel will be broken. The second half of the tribulation period will be the worst Holocaust against the Jewish people ever, where 2/3 of the Jewish people will die in the land. But in the end, all Israel is saved. And this is the good news. In the end, all Israel is saved. Jesus comes back in his second coming after the tribulation period is over. He destroys all the enemies of the Jewish people in the war of Armageddon. After a 75-day interval, Jesus then begins the 1,000-year messianic millennial kingdom. After the 1,000 years, Satan will be released from his prison in the abyss and wage war against Jesus in the one final battle called Gog and Magog 2. After all the evil ones die in this battle, God sets up the great white throne judgment. All evil people for all time will be judged and sent to the lake of fire for eternity. Then the Lord will create a new heavens and a new earth. He then sends the new Jerusalem from heaven to earth. The new Jerusalem is our eternal home, where Jesus and the Father will dwell with us and sit on their throne for all eternity. So please open your Bibles, if you have a Bible, to the book of Psalms, chapter 83. And as we look at Israel today, Psalm 83 reveals in dramatic fashion many nations that hate Israel and the Jewish people. And their hatred will not stop. This Psalm of Asaph is a cry to God for action against the evil ones and their dreadful deeds against the Jewish people. This is what we find in verse 1. So we're going to be reading Psalm 83, verse 1 and 2 out loud. We also have the scriptures up on the screen for you as well. Verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 83. O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent, and O God, do not be still. For behold, thine enemies make an uproar, and those who hate thee have exalted themselves. In verse 2, we see the enemies of our Lord also revealing their hatred of God by exalting themselves. This means these evil ones are exalting themselves in their own pride against the Lord. So how are they going to show their hatred? That's a good question. Verse 3. They make shrewd plans against thy people and conspire together against thy treasured ones. Verse 3 shows the enemies of the God of Israel making shrewd plans and conspiring against your people and your treasured ones. God's people and God's treasured ones are most certainly the Jewish people he is speaking of here. The Jewish people were chosen by God out of all the peoples of the earth a long time ago to be his people. This verse is also found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, if you'd like to take notes. Reading verse 4 aloud here. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. In verse 4, there is no doubt the enemies of the God of Israel are the enemies of the Jewish people. They are even quoted as saying that they want to wipe them out as a nation and let Israel's name be remembered no more. How many hundreds of times over the years have Meshuggah is Hebrew for crazy, how many Meshuggah world leaders clearly made these very statements? in verse 5. For they have conspired together with one mind. Against thee do they make a covenant. Verse 5 is very telling to us. They even have conspired together in unity to make a covenant against God. Making a covenant against the God of Israel is showing a very strong commitment against the Lord, and one that is not easily broken. They have bound themselves in this covenant to come against the Lord and against His chosen people. The question comes to mind, who are these nations and peoples who hate the Lord and Israel so much that they bound themselves in a covenant? Well, verses 6 through 8 identify their ancient names, and I will reveal their modern names as we go through them. Verse 6, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites. Verse 6 begins with Edom. Edom is Esau, and Esau migrated to the southeast of the Dead Sea. Today, this area is southwest Jordan. And it is interesting to note that Jordan signed a peace treaty with Israel in 1994 and has kept the peace with the Jewish people to this day. However, before 1994, they attacked Israel many times. But peace treaties can easily be broken. Amen? Next on our list is the Ishmaelites. Ishmael eventually migrated to the Arabians. Today, this would be Saudi Arabia. There have been recent talks about Saudi Arabia's desire to join the peace treaty between Israel and Egypt. Moab lived to the east of the Dead Sea and north of Edom. Today, that would be central West Jordan. The Hagrites come from Hagar, and she was an Egyptian. Egypt today has kept the peace treaty they signed with Israel in 1979. But again, peace treaties can easily be broken, and Egypt attacked Israel many times in the last 70 years. Verse 7, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Verse 7 continues the list of the enemies of the Jewish people with Gebal. Gebal was a coastal city in Lebanon. So Gebal then represents the nation of Lebanon. Israel had a war with Hezbollah in 2006. And Israel is readying themselves today for a war with Lebanon and also possibly Syria and Iran as well. Ammon lived to the north of Moab. Today, this area is northwest Jordan. So all of the western side of today's Jordan are identified as enemies of the Lord and Israel. This would then include the whole nation of Jordan. So Amalek lived in the area between Judah and Egypt. Today it is called the Sinai Peninsula. The Sinai Peninsula is Egypt. Philistia lived in the southwest corner of Canaan. Today that land is called the Gaza Strip. It is interesting to note that peoples from this small plot of land would be enemies and haters of the Jewish people and attack Israel. This is exactly what we see today. Hamas and the Palestinians attacking Israel across the border fence. I believe this scripture shows that the Gaza Strip would continue to be a thorn in Israel's side. And our recent history bears this out. Tyre is a city along the southern coast of Lebanon. Tyre also represents Lebanon, as we spoke earlier. Finally, verse 8. Assyria has also joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. And finally, we have Assyria in verse 8. Assyria was located along the Tigris River in the upper Mesopotamia area. Today, that country would be Iraq and also some of eastern Syria. After the Second Gulf War of 2003, Iraq has become more violent Islamic than ever before. Iran has been steadily infiltrating their political systems, and they also constantly persecute Christians. Some believers think that Psalm 83 is speaking of a specific war in the past. However, the context of the psalm indicates that the hatred and violent plans against the Jewish people are a continuous action in the present. And just looking over the last 70 years of Israel's existence, we see all of these identified countries in Psalm 83 have in one way or another attacked Israel in war. While these Arab wars continue to plague Israel in the present, I believe the next prophetic event, the next prophetic future event that will occur on planet Earth is going to be the Ezekiel War. So please turn to Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 10 through 12. The Ezekiel War is not the same war of Armageddon, nor is it the world war of the first half of the tribulation period. This Ezekiel War is a war that could happen any time. And I believe we Christians will see it happen soon. Now, before we continue, I must let you know that there are two prophetic events that are both imminent, and that means they can happen at any time. These events are the pre-trib rapture and the Ezekiel War. In my book, I encourage all believers to do their own study and come up with their own timeline. But I give reasons why I believe the Ezekiel War occurs before the rapture. So I humbly let you know today that I may be wrong in this order. The rapture could occur first and then the Ezekiel War after it. I just think the Lord wants the whole world, including all believers, to know that He is the one and only God of the universe and the God of Israel when He destroys the enemy nations of the Jewish people in the Ezekiel War. I think He wants all of us to see Him in action, working these miracles. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 through 6, we are introduced to a number of nations who are called by their ancient names. Identifying these ancient names with their modern counterparts has not been without controversy. It certainly is not easy to identify all these nations with complete assurance that we are correct. However, I have endeavored to do my best. I believe the nations identified in these verses are Russia, Iran, Sudan, Libya, and Turkey. All of these nations have a history of hating Israel and the Jewish people. The four identified Muslim countries have attacked Israel many times in the last 70 years. Sometime in the near future, these five nations will unite together and attack Israel, but their motive will not be to destroy Israel. Let me read verse 10 and 11 out loud to you. Thus says the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go up against those who are at rest, that live securely, all of them living without walls and having no bars or gates. Here we see these evil nations devising an evil plan against Israel. The reason for the invasion is found in verse 12. So let's take a look at verse 12. It says, to capture spoil and to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods, who live at the center of the world. These evil nations simply want all the spoil and plunder they can get their hands on. What spoil is that? The scripture says Israel has cattle and goods and silver and gold in verse 13. So we also know Israel has newly found oil. and natural gas reserves that Russia has been helping them to extract and refine. Yes, Russia and the Confederacy, they want the spoils of Israel, and in the process, many Jewish people will die in this war. But the hard part in understanding this great attack is that there is no country that comes to Israel's defense. Not one country helps Israel in her distress, which is astonishing. Not the United States, the European Union, Japan, or Australia. None of these countries help Israel. Only the Lord Himself defends Israel and wipes out the enemy soldiers and their corresponding nations with fire. That verse is found in chapter 39, verse 6. We all have to understand something very important here. The Lord Himself comes to Israel's defense so that He would be glorified around the world. The effects of this war on the world will be catastrophic. The nations of Russia, Iran, and the Confederacy will be destroyed by the Lord's judgment, just like Egypt was wiped out thousands of years ago with the Lord's 10 plagues. The Lord's great desire for the world, and I believe all believers as well, is that we will all see with our own eyes His great judgment upon those who plan evil against Israel and the Jewish people. His judgment reveals His glory. Chapter 39, verse 21. Let me say that again. His judgment reveals His glory. The effects of the wars against Israel today and the Ezekiel war are summarized on the chart. I believe because of these wars, we shall see a dramatic increase in the regathering of Jewish people back to the land of Israel. That's in the circle of the chart. Talk of a peace treaty with Israel will increase around the world. Israel's desire to build the third temple will also increase. These three effects will increase as time moves forward. After the Ezekiel War, I believe the next prophetic event to take place is the formation of the One World Order. The world will be reeling in emotional pain from the destruction of Russia, Iran, and the Confederacy of Nations. And I believe that at this time, the world thinks they will need a one world government to take control. And they will also be desirous to give Israel a peace treaty. It was recently reported in the news that the UN wants to have a one world government by the year 2030. That's only 11 years away. And they are making plans to fulfill that goal. Think of this scenario. The world just witnessed the God of Israel Himself destroying Russia and Iran and the Confederacy. They might be thinking they should appease this God of Israel so He won't destroy their nations as well. A one world government and a peace treaty with Israel would greatly help, in their own eyes, the world's appeasement of the God of Israel. Our next set of scriptures, Daniel chapter 7, verse 23 and 24. We'll have that scripture up on the screen for you as well. In this section of scripture, an angel is answering Daniel's question about the fourth beast of his dream. Remember, Daniel had a dream about four beasts, and they represented the four Gentile kingdoms that would take control over the world and Israel. The angel is now speaking about the revived Roman Empire, which is the fourth beast. Look at verses 23 and 24. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all other kingdoms, and it will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom ten kings will arise. And another will arise after them. And he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue three kings. Verse 23 tells us the revived Roman Empire will be different from all the other past empires in that it will be more treacherous and violent than the others. Verse 24 shows us another difference about this Roman kingdom. Sometime after it becomes the one world order, it will break up into 10 kingdoms. The scripture says, out of this kingdom, 10 kings will arise. So to summarize, the one world order is created first, then out of this kingdom, 10 kingdoms will be formed. In Roman history, the empire broke up into only two kingdoms, east and the west. So in history past, the Roman Empire never broke up into 10 kingdoms. However, it is prophesied that this is so. Therefore, the Roman Empire needs to be revived so the prophecy can be fulfilled. What better time from the Roman Empire to revive than when Russia and Iran and the Confederacy are destroyed by God? After the Roman Empire breaks up into 10 kingdoms, then and only then will the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist, rise to military power in the first half of the tribulation period. He will then fight against three of these 10 kingdoms and subdue them. He then takes rulership of the world by the time of the middle of the tribulation period. I believe sometime during the formation of the one world order and the 10 kingdoms, will be the pre-trib rapture. This rapture is the greatest event in the church's history. All believers will be raptured from this earth to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, and then proceed to our home in heaven until the timing of the second coming of Jesus. The rapture occurred sometime prior to the seven-year tribulation period. Now please turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. We'll have that scripture on the screen as well. This is the famous section of prophetic scripture in Daniel concerning the 70 weeks for the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem. Verse 24, I'm going to read aloud. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. God sent the angel Gabriel to give Daniel understanding of the vision. 70 weeks are decreed for the Jewish people and the holy city, which is Jerusalem, to perform 6 prophetic events. 70 weeks have been determined to be a total of 490 years. Each week equals a seven-year time period. To summarize this verse, the Jewish people in Jerusalem have 490 total prophetic years to perform and fulfill the 6 prophetic events. Question: is this prophecy for the church? Or for other nations like America or Japan, Russia, Iran, or any other nation? The answer is no. This prophecy is for Israel and the Jewish people only. And so see how the Lord is focusing his attention upon the land of Israel while he judges the world in the tribulation period. Let's read verses 25 and 26. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. In verses 25 and 26, we see that the total of 69 weeks, or 483 years, have already been fulfilled in Jesus' first coming, as he died on the cross to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, and to make atonement for iniquity. Jesus died on the cross and resurrected on the third day so that we could be saved from our sins and have eternal life by repenting or turning away from our sins and believing in Him as our Lord, as our Savior, and as our only God. Our one and only God. That, my friends, is the gospel message in a nutshell. Therefore, 69 weeks, or 483 years, have been fulfilled in Jesus' first coming. But there is a problem. We are missing 1 week, or the last 7 years. Take a look at verse 27. Here is where we find the last 7 years, or what is known as the 70th week of Daniel. It discusses the future 7-year tribulation period where the anti-Messiah takes control over the entire world. Please remember, this is the same tribulation period that is detailed in the book of Revelation, verse 27. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. The he that is found in verse 27 is the anti-Messiah, and he will make a firm, strong covenant of peace with the many of the Jewish people of Israel for 7 years. This is a peace treaty that Israel is very eager to have. They are very desirous to have peace with the world and with the Muslims, Arabs, and Persians today. The tribulation period spoken of here is also known as Jacob's trouble for the Jewish people. Why? Because Israel is going to be in a lot of trouble. There's going to be one final Holocaust in the second half of the tribulation period. For thousands of years, the Jewish people have endured many holocausts. The worst so far was World War II and the Nazis, where 6 million Jewish people were murdered just for being Jewish. What is the reason for all of these unprovoked holocausts? Plain and simple. People and nations of the world hate the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism is on the rise all over the world. But more shockingly, in the United States, where most Jewish people of the world live. We have had many horrible anti-Semitic terror attacks against Jewish people, like the one on the Pittsburgh synagogue where 11 Jewish people were murdered. Recently, a neo-Nazi young man in Las Vegas, where I live, plotted to attack one of the Messianic Jewish congregations. Not ours, but another one in the city. The FBI arrested this man before he was able to carry out his evil plan. This shows anti-Semitism is on the rise around the world. This is just one reason why we need your prayers and support. The question remains, today, do we see the world coming to Israel's defense? Or do we see the world strategically coming against Israel in battle, setting up the end time scenario found in the Bible? Verse 27 also tells us that the anti-Messiah will stop the animal sacrifices and the offerings in the temple. He will then perform the abomination of desolation, which is setting himself up as God in the temple. This is an abomination to the Lord and the Jewish people. He then will require worship from the Jewish and Gentile people of the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 tells us the man of lawlessness, who is the son of destruction, is going to take his seat in the temple and set himself up as God. So we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. This is talking about the anti-Messiah. Then, all hell will break loose on earth, and the worst Holocaust will occur to not only the Jewish people, but to all people. It is at this time that two-thirds of the Jewish population in Israel will die. The quote in the scripture is Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Let me reiterate this point again. It is at this time that two-thirds of the Jewish population in the land of Israel will die. Jesus confirms this in Matthew chapter 24. This then begins the giving of the 666 mark. Whoever believes in anti-Messiah and Satan will receive the mark and be able to buy and sell products around the world. Whoever does not receive the mark will die by having their heads chopped off. At the end of the tribulation period, just before Jesus' second coming, something wonderful happens to the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Romans chapter 11, verse 26 states this, "And thus all Israel will be saved." The one-third of the Jewish people that lived through the tribulation period will sometime toward the end receive Jesus as their Lord, their Savior, and their Messiah. They will become born again and ultimately enter into the messianic millennial kingdom. This is what all Jewish missions are looking forward to, such as myself. After the tribulation period is over, Jesus will come in His second coming. The Bible tells us we do not know the day or the hour of His second coming. That scripture is Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. The purpose of the second coming is to save the Jewish and Gentile believers, fight against the evil ones in the war of Armageddon, and then set up the messianic millennial kingdom. Please turn to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. It'll also be on the screen. As we study the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, many believers of Jesus do not believe in a literal 1,000-year kingdom of Jesus. Unfortunately, they think Jesus is reigning in His kingdom right now. Well, Jesus is reigning from heaven with the Father right now, but this is not the millennial kingdom promised by God in His covenants to Abraham and David. Combining these covenantal promises, God said the Jewish people would forever live in the land of Israel under the authority of the King of the Jews, who is Jesus. So the key is that they're living in the land of Israel, and Jesus is reigning in the land of Israel. This will be fulfilled in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. This kingdom is still future, and it is talked about in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. As I read these scriptures, I want you to be aware of the Greek grammar in these verses. Many of the verbal clauses are found to be in the indicative mood. Now, you don't have to understand that. It means most of these statements in this chapter should be taken as positive, and clear-cut statements. The Greek grammar shows that we should take the statements literally and not necessarily metaphorically. Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hands. And he laid hold of the dragon, and the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. In verses 1 through 2, Satan is bound up and put in the abyss for 1,000 years, the same duration as the kingdom. Verse 3, "And threw him into the abyss, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he should not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time." In verse 3, Satan is not allowed to deceive the nations for the same 1,000 years. These statements are to be taken literally and not metaphorically, and therefore are God's truth. Verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received a mark upon their forehead and upon their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 4 shows the believers of the tribulation period who died for Jesus are greatly rewarded. They will reign with Jesus in the kingdom for 1,000 years. Again, the Greek here shows us to take this as a positive and clear-cut statement. This means there's no ulterior motive in the message. It means exactly what it says. Verse 5. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Verse 5 proclaims that the rest of the dead people do not come to life until after the 1,000 years was over. They will then afterwards receive their just rewards of punishment forever. And verse 6, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Verse 6 then declares to the church that we shall be priests and kings with Jesus in his kingdom for 1,000 years. Again, this is to be taken literally and not metaphorically. These are the clear promises of God to his people. After the millennial kingdom is over, Satan will be let out of his jail, and he will then perform the war of Gog and Magog too. After God destroys all the enemies in this war, he will judge all the evil people of the world for all time. This judgment is the great white throne judgment. After this judgment, he creates a new heavens and earth. The new Jerusalem that is already in heaven today will then come down from the new heaven and to the new earth. This new Jerusalem will be our eternal home, and the Father and Son will sit on their throne in the new Jerusalem forever. This, my friends, is Israel and prophecy. Let us pray. Father, we come to you through the mighty name of Jesus. Please be with the Jewish people today and in the future. Help them to see the light of Jesus and get saved. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We also pray for this church and Pastor Alistair and Wendy. Please fill us all with your Spirit to produce your will in your power and might. Use this church to walk in the Spirit and reach many people with the good news message of Jesus. We pray for your many great blessings to pour out upon us, all in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just want to offer an opportunity for anyone here today that has not given their hearts to Jesus, that is not born again, that has not asked for forgiveness from Jesus in their life as yet. But maybe there's a person here today that wants to do this. With your eyes still closed and your head still bowed, if there is a person that wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as their God, understanding that Jesus died for your sins and resurrected for you today, would you raise your hand, raise it up on high, so that we may pray for you. Does anyone want to receive Jesus here today? Thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having me today. Once again, I'm honored to be here teaching this message of Israel prophecy or chronology, and I'll be available for questions and comments. Thank you. Shalom.